Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew 21, and we're going to look at the account of when Jesus came in to Jerusalem on that, what we call now, Palm Sunday. Matthew 21, in verse 1, it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Now their shout, "Hosanna," meant save now. Save now. Verse 10. "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" So apparently some folks, you know, they just kind of got caught up in the commotion and didn't even really know what was going on. Verse 11, "So the multitudes said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now go in your Bibles to another account of this over in John chapter 12. It's in all Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We won't look at them all. But over here in John the 12th chapter, we'll pick it up in verse 12. "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.'" Another translation says it this way: "Praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Notice that there in verse 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. And the truth of the matter is, that great multitude of people that were out there that day celebrating Jesus' coming into Jerusalem, they themselves did not fully understand or grasp the magnitude of what all this meant. But Jesus understood perfectly what was going on. He understood that he was coming into Jerusalem that day to die. To die. To die on a gruesome cross, be tortured, brutally beaten, and then die for our sins. The people there did not know this, but Jesus knew this. In fact, here in John 12, if you go back to verse 7, in verse 7, Jesus was over at Lazarus' house. Remember, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And now he's back at Lazarus' house, and Mary and Martha are there, the sisters of Lazarus. And it says that, verse 7, then Jesus said, let her alone, because you remember how Mary fell down and began to pour oil on Jesus, and began to anoint him with this fragrant oil. And the disciples were all upset and thought, well, this is just a waste of money. I mean, that's expensive stuff just being poured out. But Jesus said in verse 7, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. So Jesus knew right there why he understood why he was in town. He understood what was going to happen. He understood that he was going to die and be buried. In fact, you see it again over in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 13. Some folks had commented about Herod is seeking your life, and Jesus said, go tell that fox, that old fox, talking about Herod, that I cast out devils, I perform cures, and on the third day I will be perfected. On the third day I'll be perfected. Then he goes on and says in verse 33 of Luke 13, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. So here Jesus is entering into Jerusalem to perish, to die. And yet he comes in triumph procession. He comes in a victory procession that quite obviously he was responsible for getting started. He planned this celebration. He planned this great party. Yes, he did. He told his disciples to go get that donkey, bring him, and he knew how to make this thing happen. And so here he comes, enjoying this huge celebration. They're celebrating Jesus as though he were a conquering king returning from the victory. He's returning to the city of Jerusalem. Here he comes riding in just like he just conquered hell and death. When yet the battle was still ahead of him. Here he is coming in, celebrating a victory that has not happened yet in the natural, according to what people can see. But Jesus already understood where he was going and exactly how this terrible tribulation that he was about to go through was going to turn out. He already had the victory. He already had the victory before he ever went to the cross, let alone was resurrected. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in his resurrection. He made a public spectacle of them. He triumphed over these principalities and power, which we understand to be the demonic rulers over this world, the spirits of darkness, the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Jesus came to conquer the king of death. He came to dethrone the devil who had taken control of mankind through sin. Jesus came to dethrone him and to take that place of authority over mankind. Only so that he can take that authority that he gains and deliver it right back to man, whom he created to rule and reign in life. Jesus is already celebrating the victory before anybody ever saw it. Think about that. Friend, that is what faith does. Palm Sunday is a celebration of faith. It is a celebration of the faith of Jesus. Even though the crowds didn't fully understand what was going on, Jesus did. And so he already understood that on this Sunday, even though game day still was up ahead, he was already enjoying his ticker tape parade. He had already set it up, orchestrated it, and was enjoying it. Instead of confetti flying, palm trees were waving. I mean, think about it. It's like a Super Bowl team. I mean, next Sunday is the Super Bowl, let's say. And, you know, you've made it to the Super Bowl, but you haven't won yet. But the Sunday before, you go ahead and you enter into your city. And you go ahead and you have the big parade. The big procession down Main Street. And you're waving your hand like you're the champion. Even though the game hasn't happened yet. The game is next week. And how do you know for sure you're even going to win? Well, you never know with a Super Bowl team what's going to happen. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the plan of God for his life, when it comes to the plan of God for your life, you can already know ahead of time that you are more than a conqueror and you always triumph and you always come out the winner. Hallelujah. And so, friend, you can start celebrating it now. You can start celebrating the victory now. How many people believe that someday you're going to leave this place and enter into heaven? The Bible talks about that we can live our lives in such a way that we have a grand entry into God's kingdom. We can have a grand, in other words, what? A ticker tape parade. A ticker, I mean, we could walk in there and the confetti's flying. People are shouting. Why? Because some more heroes in the faith have come home. Do I have any heroes in the faith? Huh? Any heroes in the faith this morning? Yes, we're going to live our life in such a way that we are going to enter into heaven like heroes. You say, how do you do it? You live your life by faith. Faith in God, faith in his word. Knowing that it's going to be exactly the way he said it's going to be. So, you know, Jesus, he knows that he's going to be raised from the dead on the third day. He's been prophesying. He's been talking about it. That didn't make going to the cross any easier. You understand? I mean, he was still, even after this, when he was that night before being betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating droplets of blood. And his soul was greatly distressed and troubled. Because he knew what he was about to suffer, what he was about to go through. But yet, he knew he was going through it. He was going to make it through it. He was going to come out on the other side of this thing victorious. And he knew that he would rise up from the dead, having disarmed principalities and power, having made a public spectacle of them. Public spectacle of the devil. He knew he would enter into the real, true, holy of holies in heaven completely victorious. So he was enjoying on earth what he knew by faith he already had in heaven. Do you know what you have awaiting you in heaven? Do you know what is out in front of you? Do you know how you're going to be when you get to heaven? You're going to be happy. For one, you're going to be happy. No. You're going to be excited. Huh? And when you get there, you're going to find yourself perfectly righteous, holy, having been washed in the blood of Jesus, clothed in white, pure in the sight of Almighty God, unashamed to stand before God Himself and give Him praise. It's going to be, before you know it, we're going to get there. We're going to see it. We're going to be it. How many believe you're going to be it? You're going to be what I just described when you get to heaven. Well, then why don't you go ahead and by faith just be it now? Why don't you just go ahead and enjoy days of heaven while you're still here on the earth? Why don't you just behave now like you would in heaven? Right? Like you would at home. You know, you hear people say, well, now, the way I am in public is the way I am at home. You know, in other words, I'm not two-faced. I'm not one thing in public and another thing at home. What you see here, you'll see over there. If you come over to my house, you'll see the same thing over there. That's how we need to talk spiritually. The same way I am at home in heaven is the same way that I am right here on the earth. I'm not two-faced. I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to praise Him. I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout. I know when I get to heaven, it's going to be all about God. I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk like a king and a priest before God. No fear, fully confident of God in me, God around me, God upon my life. I know that's how it's going to be there. And guess what? Jesus said, pray that thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That God's will for you in heaven would be walked out and portrayed right here on the earth. If you believe that's how you're going to be, then why wouldn't you be that now? Are you going to be something different when you get there? No, you're not going to be anything different. You're going to be the same person. You said you're going to be the same, but the only thing that's going to change is the circumstances around you. All that's going to change is what's going on around you. But you are you. And it's you that's going to heaven. It's you that's going to heaven. And we'll recognize each other when we get to heaven. A lot of folks still have this idea that it's going to be weird. It's mystical. There's mists. We're just going to be a bunch of mists and ghosts. And it's going to be weird and strange. And it's not going to be tangible. And it's not going to be really the same. No, everything on earth has been patterned after the things in heaven. But earth got messed up because of sin. The earth is full of death and it's dysfunctional. But you and I, even though we're in this dysfunctional earth, you and I are not dysfunctional. You and I have been delivered. You and I have been set free. You and I have been saved. Oh, glory to God. We've been saved. We've been delivered from every evil thing. And Jesus coming into Jerusalem, really, with this great procession, with this great fanfare, is a type of the victory that he would experience when he walks into heaven after having put his heel on the head of the serpent, after having defeated death and gained the greatest victory. Right? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, in the latter part it says, but the Jerusalem above is free. I want to point out that Jerusalem, there is a Jerusalem above. There's natural Jerusalem in Israel, but then there's the Jerusalem above. That's heaven. That's heaven. So as Jesus entered into earth Jerusalem, it was a type of entering into the Jerusalem that is above. Why wait to celebrate? Why wait until you get to heaven before you behave the way you will behave in heaven? Why wait? Why wait? Let's be the same on earth as we are in heaven. Right? Now, what about these palm branches? People come out and they're waving these palm branches and they begin to throw them down before Jesus. Well, palm branches have been a symbol of victory and overcoming. That's actually what they are back in those days, and you still see it even today in certain places. Coins had palm branches on them. Important buildings had palm branches on them. It's a symbol of victory. Athletes, in a lot of cases, especially in the days of the Roman Empire, athletes were handed palm branches as an award to them, as a symbol of their victory, of their triumphing in their whatever they won the victory in, whatever kind of athletic sport they were involved in. So palm branches being waved and things was, again, the people didn't have a full concept of what they were doing. They didn't realize Jesus was the Messiah. They just thought, you know, he was a political leader. They just thought he was a political leader. That's what they thought he was. They thought he's here to overthrow the Roman Empire. He's here to restore Israel, the sovereignty of the nation of Israel. But yet we know that as the people were throwing those palm branches, laying those palm branches down before Jesus, Jesus would be laying his life down for them. And so those palm branches, that laying down of those palm branches, again, we can look at it as a type of Jesus laying down his life for us. It could be a symbol, not only of victory, but a symbol, therefore, of sacrifice. A symbol of our salvation. And I don't just say that. There's other scripture which we'll get to show that that is so, that these palm branches can be a symbol of sacrifice, a symbol of our salvation. Now, the word salvation, of course, means deliverance from hell. Being saved from an eternity separated from God in an awful place, a very real place called hell. But that doesn't exhaust the definition of salvation. Salvation also means, this word salvation in the Greek, it means deliverance from every evil thing. Healing, preservation. So salvation encompasses a lot. It encompasses divine protection, restoration, and refreshing. And these palm branches being laid down there before Jesus are a type of waving those palm branches in their hands, waving them before the Lord, is a type of taking hold of his salvation, and trusting in him. We see it not only here on earth, but the same exact thing happening in heaven over in Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation 7. 7's a great number. It's symbolic of faith. Remember, it was after 7 days, after God spoke the creation into existence, he rested. That first chapter of Genesis is not God actually physically reworking things and making the creation. It's God speaking the creation into existence and seeing it by faith. And on the seventh day, he rested. Well, Jesus is 7 days out on Palm Sunday. He's 7 days out from Easter Sunday. He's 7 days out from Resurrection Sunday. And he is celebrating by faith. And we see here in, again, we talked about, is heaven so much different than earth? Well, notice this here. In Revelation chapter 7, in verse 9, after these things I looked, this is John having a vision into heaven, into the future. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Isn't that amazing? Just like they were doing on the earth. Just like they were doing on the earth. They're celebrating Palm Sunday in heaven. Right? They got palm. That means there's palm trees in heaven. That means there's coconuts in heaven. And I'm telling you, it's the finest coconut milk you've ever had. It's waiting for you in heaven. Glory be to God. They're doing the same thing up in heaven. And again, notice the importance. So we see, if we see that they're doing this in heaven, they got palm branches in heaven, then this really wasn't just some kind of random, reckless thing that the children of Israel were doing as Jesus came into the city. They were inspired to do this. I'm telling you, the anointing that was there that day must have been awesome. The glory of God filled that whole place where Jesus was. You can imagine how the Spirit of God came in there. And through Jesus' faith that he's already the conquering King of kings before he even goes to the cross and conquers anything. His faith coming into Jerusalem must have manifested incredible glory. Incredible glory. And people were beside themselves. And that inspiration of God got on people. And you know, when that inspiration comes upon you, glory be to God, you're going to do something. You're going to do something godly. You're going to do something being moved by God. And they ran and they began to cut down palm branches. And they began to gather those things that, because again, they were doing something by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we see it later on taking place in heaven. Here are these people clothed in white robes, waving these palm branches in heaven, celebrating his victory, saying, we have taken hold of your salvation. We trust in you. And notice the next verse in Revelation, in verse 10, he says, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, the people that have gathered, gathering their palms in heaven and waving them, they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation, there it is, salvation, waving palm branches, salvation. See, those palm branches are a type of salvation. A type of salvation. That's what we see again. When they were laying them down before Jesus, it was a type of how he was coming in to lay down his life for them. And he allowed all of hell to walk over him. Didn't he? He allowed all of hell to walk over him. He became sin, separated from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? Separated by God, separated from God. Trampled on by a beast. And you know, the devil here in the book of Revelation is referred to as the beast. Just like those palm branches were walked on, having been laid down. Jesus would lay down his life and allow the beast to walk over him so that he could take the full punishment for our sins. The full weight of our sins upon himself. And so they have the palm branches. They're in heaven. They're crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces. And the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen. They're worshiping Him. They're praising Him. Then watch this, verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? One of the elders asking John, where did this crowd of people come from with these palm branches up here? Where did they come from? Verse 14, and I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Verse 16, they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Notice this here. He said, these holding the palm branches and waving them, these are those who came out of the great tribulation. And the Bible talks about that there's a time coming. It's coming. And it's a time of great tribulation where there'll be such tribulation that there'll be nothing that has ever been like it or ever will be again, is what Jesus said. It's going to be a worldwide thing. It's a great, great, great time of tribulation. The earth is going to be in a lot of trouble. Things are going to happen with climate change. Things are going to happen with the sun. I mean, people are going to get scorched. There's going to be nuclear war. Nuclear bombs are going to be released. That's probably a big part of what's going to destroy the atmosphere. Not so much your SUV. But there's a lot of problems coming. People, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, people being tormented, people wanting to die. It's going to get so bad. He said, here's a group of folks that went through the tribulation. And notice that every tribe, every tongue, every nation, they went through this great time of trouble, but they came through it. They came through it victorious. They came through it having been delivered from the power of death, hell, and the grave. They overcame. And even in a time of great tribulation, the Lord was their shelter. He was their protection. And you think about a palm tree. You think about palm branches. You know, you get under the shade of some branches of a tree, it's amazing how much cooler it is on a hot day. Just getting under a tree. I mean, you don't even feel a breeze out here. And then you get underneath a tree, get under those branches. Immediately, suddenly you feel, oh, there is a breeze. Temperature's a lot lower. Huh, hallelujah. It's shelter. It's protection from the heat. It's protection from the sun. And we see that in verse 18. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. Again, Jesus is our salvation. He is our deliverance from every evil thing. He is our protection. He is our covering from the heat, from those hot places that we go through in life, those wildernesses that we pass, those deserts that we pass through in life. Has anybody ever gone through spiritually a dry and thirsty place? Have you ever been in a dry and thirsty place? Yeah, and the children of Israel, remember they came out of the wilderness, didn't they? Excuse me, they came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt. And they were on the way to a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, land of good things. But first they had to go through a desert. But out in that desert, they did something. They made booths. They made booths. And they gathered palm branches and made shelters for themselves out there in the wilderness. You say, where'd they get the palm branches from? Well, as they were traveling along in the wilderness, they came to an oasis. You see it over in Exodus chapter 15, verse 27. It says, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Notice this, they are in a desert. And they're walking along in the desert, and all of a sudden they look. And the guy's thinking, this has got to be a mirage. And he's looking, and he sees what looks like water. And they keep walking. He's thinking, my mind's playing tricks on me. They're out there walking through that desert. They've been going days without water. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm seeing palm trees. They get over there, and there's 12 wells of water. Right there in the middle of there's an oasis out there with palm trees, coconuts. I love coconuts. And they came, and they rested in this oasis in the middle of the desert. Those palm branches, again, are symbolic of protection and refreshing. Huh? Renewal. The Lord is your protection. He refreshes you. In the midst of a dry and thirsty land, Jesus is your oasis. Jesus, there are wells of salvation. There are wells of water to draw from, to quench your thirst, no matter what's going on in the physical around you. You got a well. I said you got a well of living water for you to be able to draw from and drink from 24/7, regardless of how things may look in the natural. Are you drawing from your well? Huh? Some of you need a better dipper. Your faith dipper's busted. You got to get your faith dipper down in there and draw it out. Ha, ha, ha. Draw it out, glory be to God, so that no matter what, you could be going through a great tribulation, but glory be to God, you're living in a tropical paradise because Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is your deliverance. Jesus is your healer. Oh, he is your happiness. You need to enjoy your tropical paradise in the presence of God. And later on, God instructed the children of Israel that every year, even after they came out of that desert and entered into the promised land, he instructed them, every year at this time, I want you to build booths. I want you to come outside of your house. I want you to take your family, and I want you to go out and spend the night, spend a few days, I think it's about a week, just celebrating my deliverance, celebrating my salvation, how I brought you out of Egypt, how I protected you, covered you in the wilderness. I want you to do this every year. I want you to do this in remembrance of my salvation for you. And that was a festivity the children of Israel were commanded to keep. He talks about it over in Leviticus 23 in verse 40. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day, the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for days. Get yourself some palm trees. Do it every year. So he tells them. Every year, get yourself some palm tree. Build yourself some booths. And I want you to rejoice. Rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Today's Palm Sunday. He is our shelter. He is our protection. He is our tropical paradise. Come on. He is our deliverance from every evil thing. We got 7 days to Easter. We need to go out there and tell somebody how good God is. We need to go out and rejoice in the Lord our God. Hallelujah. We need to celebrate that the King has won. He has conquered. He has triumphed victoriously. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, when God gave the inspiration to Solomon to build the temple, the Bible talks about how they had sketched in the walls of the Holy of Holies and all around that temple, cherubim, angels, and palm trees. In chapter 6, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 29, it says, then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both the inner and outer sanctuaries, with carved figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. Verse 32, he talks about more palm trees. They're in there. They're in the temple. God likes palm trees. Now I understand why I like them. They were in the temple. And that Holy of Holies was a type of heaven. Come on. It was a type of heaven. And you and I got the Holy of Holies in our spirits now under the new covenant. We don't go to a temple made of stone. Now we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit, and our spirits are the Holy of Holies. And in that place, praise God, there's divine protection. Got angels watching over us. Angels watching over our life in the spirit. And it's a place of palm trees. Man, I'm on a continual vacation. How about you? I don't have to go south for the winter. I don't mind to. I'll tell you that right now. I'll take that too. Thank you, Jesus. But I don't have to. I don't have to. Because we've got a continual vacation abiding on the inside of you and I. Psalm 92, verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. What did he say? The righteous. Do we have any righteous in the house? The righteous shall flourish like what? Like a palm tree. Somebody say, I'm flourishing. By faith, like a palm tree. Come on, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. Come on, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hello, somebody. We are flourishing, praise. We're not drying up. We're not withering on the vine. It don't matter how hot things get in the world. It don't matter what goes on in the political arena. You and I are going to flourish. You and I are going to bear fruit. You and I are going to be successful. You and I have protection. You and I are blessed coming in and blessed going out. Come on! Give him a shout. Hey! Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody say, my life is a tropical paradise. Oh, glory be to God. You know what that means? People get around you for vacation. People get around you for vacation because you're a refreshing. You're a refreshing because you're refreshed. You're refreshed and you're blessed and you got no fear. Tell the daughter of Zion, don't be afraid. Your king is coming. You don't have to be afraid. The same Jesus that was taken up into heaven is coming again. Oh, hallelujah. And until that day, bless God, in this dry and thirsty land, we've got the Holy Ghost. We've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We got living water. We've got eternal life, unceasing, absolute fullness of life. Oh, hallelujah. If they could say under the new covenant, I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out, how much more under the new covenant can you and I declare, I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out? And say, Jesus is my shelter. He is my protection. He is my salvation. He laid down his life for me that I might live. Live it up. Live absolute. Fullness of life. Live overflowing life. Live in a tropical paradise. 24/7. Oh, that's what Palm Sunday means to me. That's what Palm Sunday means to me. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why don't you act like today the way you know you will be acting when you get home to heaven? Because you're standing before him right now. Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.